All right, Mark chapter 9. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We enter your word with expectation, knowing we have the kinship to this word because we're born of this word, Father. And we thank you. You said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We receive it this day. Revelation and insight is ours. We receive the living word of the living God this morning, and life comes to us in every area. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Two or three of us got talking about this over the last couple of weeks, and so I wanted to kind of start this remembering part right here with it. And it says, in verse 17 says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto you my son, which had a dumb spirit." I mean, that pretty much fits all the spirits of the devil. But anyway, well, they all missed that, didn't you? That just went right over your head, just shoo, just like it. Anyway, I'm not going to explain it to you. Okay, I'm not going to explain. Okay. "And wherever he takes him, he tears and he foams, he gnashes with his teeth, he pines away. And I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you or put up with you? Bring him unto me." Please don't think the Lord was aggravated at these people with this. What he was talking about was, when I'm out of here, the faith that I have can come to you through the Holy Spirit. That's all he was talking about. It's the same thing that Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Darth Vader, "When you strike me down, I'll come back more powerful than ever before." That was the whole plan. If you watch those stuff, you'll see Jesus. Okay, anyway, we'll go past that. "They brought unto him and brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago is it since this came on him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more. He cried out, rent him sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, he is dead. But Jesus stood by, took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. All right. Now, the guy looked at Jesus. When Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes, and we know that. This guy did not have that kind of faith. He plainly told you that, oh, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because here's what he heard Jesus say, if you can believe. And he realized, ooh, I can't believe that much. But then when he said, help my unbelief, Jesus did something. Because he only needed one that could believe. And there was one standing there that could believe. The last prophet of the old covenant was standing right there, and he could believe. Jesus healed his son. The guy didn't have the faith in him, but he had the faith in Jesus. When he cast it over on him, he knew he didn't have it. And he said, help my unbelief. But he believed Jesus could. And when he believed Jesus could, Jesus could. Not Jesus then decided he would. Jesus could. Now, Jesus standing as the last prophet of the old covenant, he was doing all those things. But what he was trying to get over to us is, I will be going away, and guess who's going to be in charge then? You. But now, you can't do it. But you know He can. So what do you got? You've got you and me, flesh and blood, with the authority in this earth, in charge, believing in the One who can. That allows the One who can to do it. Okay? Why? Because it has to come through me and you, because earth was made for man. We're the one in charge. According to your faith, be it unto you. As thou hast believed, so shall it be, right? But all the time we've always put this on us, as we have to get to where we believe that God is going to, when we already believe that Jesus can. So we can rest in that fact. You're believing in as far off as you think it is. Because all you got to do is believe in Him. You believe that he wants to, believe that He will, and then He can. That's exactly what He was setting this guy up for. Now let me show you something that's pretty unique about this. We'll go down a little further. Verse 28. And when He was coming to His house, His disciples asked Him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And He said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." This kind. We've always looked. This kind of healing. This kind of deliverance. I don't think that's what He means. I think He means this kind of faith. This kind of faith can only come forth by prayer and fasting. And oh no, I found out something else. The word fasting isn't really there in the original text. They added that. They thought it'd sound good. They thought it'd help us be more disciplined and feel like, you know, we're doing something more. And you know, after all, then God kind of be obligated, you know, if we give up some food. Come on now. No, it wasn't what He's talking about. And when you take the fasting off, it doesn't mean, okay, well, I can't get this kind of faith unless I just got to pray. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray an hour a day. And so then we get down to pray and we start praying. And man, we know it's been like 45 minutes already. You know, and then we look at our watch and it's been 10. And then we just keep praying. Because I believe, you know, if I can just pray an hour a day. Because, you know, Jesus told them, pray with me 1 hour. So I just got, and so now, we pray another. We know it's been another 30 minutes anyway. It's got to be getting close to that hour. And it's been 7 more minutes. And so, and we just keep on praying. Because, man, we want this kind to come out now. We want this kind of faith to come out. And it's got to be done by prayer. Bless our little darling hearts. We are notorious in the flesh for taking something the Lord has for us that's precious and turning it into a work. You can pray an hour a day, every day, or every other hour. But if the only reason you're doing it is because you think you're going to get God to move because you're doing something here, it'll never happen because there's no faith in that. That's a work. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. What did He mean? In His presence is fullness of joy. In order to operate in that kind of faith, just spend time with Jesus. Just get in His presence. Not for the hour. Just get in His presence. Just talk to Him. Just have fun walking with Him and laughing and when you read that word, just asking Him questions. Just spend time with Him. Not to get Him to do it. Why? Because He's already done it. He is not withholding. What is He needing? He's needing faith to be activated. The only way faith can be activated is from His presence. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the live word that comes from Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, that Word of God statement there means Word of Christ. The living Word, the one that's alive, okay? Now, that is part of this, but what happens, it gets off that page and gets into your heart. It doesn't do that by you and me memorizing it. Is it a good thing to memorize? Oh, am I? Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't do it because you memorize it. It does it because you get in Jesus' presence and it comes alive. And you didn't have anything to do with it. I was praying the other day. The Lord said, son, you realize why I get to do so much for Jesse? And I never really thought about it. Jesse's one of the guys that tell you he gets all his prayers answered. All the time. Jesse the Plains, I'm talking about. And I said, well, Lord, I never really thought about it. He said, because Jesse and I just spend time together. Jesse's in my presence, and that causes him to believe. It's not because he goes around the world preaching that, well, yes, Jesse deserves it. No. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's what makes it, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to this end or for this purpose that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Are you see what I'm getting at? It's not God deciding he's going to do this. It's you and me coming up with the faith and the revelation that it's already been done. That only comes from him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Right? All right, so let's get into some of this remembering stuff. I've got to remember the finished work. I remember the finished work. I believe the finished work. I receive the finished work. That's what I remind myself. I remember the finished work. Then I believe the finished work. I receive the finished work. So what does it start with? Remembering it. Because you can't believe it and then remember it. You got to remember it first. Okay? Go to Matthew 16. I'll show you. I'm going to take off running here in a few minutes. I don't mean around the church. I mean in this. Would that be okay too? I can do that. All right, Matthew chapter 16. Verse 5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Which Jesus perceived, and he said, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand, neither remember. This is the first time the word remember is used in the New Testament. First time the word remember is used in the New Testament. What's he talking about? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Do you really think I'm concerned about you not having any bread? Oh, yes, Lord, because that's more important. And then he talks about the weightier things. Yeah, but that wasn't what he said. He said, he didn't say, do you remember, brothers, that it's more important now for you to be spiritual here? No. He said, did you remember the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Do you remember that I fed you? Do you remember that when you lacked something, I supplied it? Did you remember that? Do you think that's what I'm talking about? Do you think I have to be concerned about you bringing bread so that you can take care of yourself? Do you think? No. Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fish. You hadn't got it, he'll supply it. Every time. He said, what I'm telling you is, watch out what the scribes and Pharisees say because they don't have a clue what they're talking about. But he said, concerning the other stuff, remember, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do I need to take care of you? Not much. A little bottle of oil, Five loaves, two fish. Stick to throw in the water. What do you, you know? Come on now, remember this. Remember, that's all I don't need much. Okay. All right, now here I'm going to give you some more remember. Remember the Old Testament. The Old Testament is an example of man's need for a Savior every time it's an example of God being just that. Get into that Old Testament, and instead of finding laws for you to live by, simply look at it as an example of man's sin, man's failure, man's inability, man's iniquity, man not able to take care of himself, man not able to live up to the law, man not able to overcome any situation, man not able to get out of nothing, and guess who shows up every time? Every time. Old Testament, not his children. Children of a friend of his. And he shows up every time as Savior. Remember that. That's all you, that will totally complete the Old Testament for you. If every time something in the Old Testament comes up, all you need to remember is God showed up. God showed up every time. Every time. Oh, yes, when they were righteous, he showed up. No. He showed up in the middle of their iniquity. He showed up in the middle. He just showed up because that's what God does. That's the God you're serving. He's not going to leave you hanging. The only reason God would have to leave you hanging, if you forget, just don't forget. Do this. Oh, man. Why did I not think he wasn't going to show up? He always shows up. He always brings us out. He always puts us far above. He always does exceeding abundantly above. That's all I need to remember. He always healed. Well, I know people that didn't get healed. That's what you're remembering. Well, I know people that just poor. That's what you're remembering. You're remembering the wrong thing. Are you with me? Oh, you mean I have to deliberately remember? Uh-huh. Yeah, there's one little thing we have to do. It ain't much, but we have to do it. And that's remember. Forget not all His benefits. Remember them. I'm more excited about this than y'all are. Y'all get, this is good stuff. I like this. Okay, let me show you another one. Isaiah 55. Okay, now we're in the Old Testament here. And I realize it's different. But I'm going to show you something. Yeah, we quote this all the time. Isaiah 55. Down in verse 11. So shall my word be. So shall my Jesus be. Huh? Same thing? Is that okay? So shall my Jesus be. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It will work. Don't you quit. Don't you give up, because it will work. It will work. You coming out the other side. Stay with it. Remember His benefits. He said His word would not return to Him void or without power. When I declare His word, this is what I'm doing. I'm remembering what He said. He said this, "For you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the crape myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Oh, I sure wish that didn't happen to me. Here's what happens to me. That's what you're remembering. Quit remembering the wrong stuff. Forget not all His benefits. Remember, He said, that thorn bush is going to have to turn into a myrtle tree. And you tell, thorn bush, myrtle tree. Did it work? Quit remembering the wrong thing. Remember what he said. Could it take some time? Yep. Why? Because, well, God is trying to decide. No, you're working on believing. Come on now. God didn't have to decide. He's already done it all. He's already given us everything. I'm jumping ahead, but he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Okay? So all we got to do is start remembering. Forget not all his benefits. Okay. Go, Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, and in that day you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. Where does anger go? Now he put it somewhere. Put it on Jesus. He put it on Jesus. All judgment, all wrath, everything that sin was supposed to bring, he put it on Jesus. Why? So you and I don't have to have it. Amen. Your anger is turned away and you comforted me. Behold, God's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. We get to draw water with joy. What do you need? You get to draw it. Remember that. Well, I just don't have anywhere to turn. I just run out of pockets to reach into. I just run out. With joy, we get to draw water out of the wells of salvation. The word salvation means deliverance, to be kept, to be prospered, to be increased, to be healed. All of that doesn't mean the new birth. They didn't have new birth in the Old Testament, okay? With joy, God finds. He makes, we like to say this all the time, he makes a way where there is no way. That's what he does. Okay? Are you with me? That's what we're remembering. All right, I'm going to give you some scripture you can stand on here. Go with me to Ephesians. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you has he given life to, or quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our lifestyle or conversation in times past, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mindset by nature, were children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's so much of that. Drop down to verse 11. Wherefore? Wherefore? Somebody tell me what's next. Remember. Remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by your righteous living. Did I miss that? You are made nigh by the good things that you do. Now you made nigh by the blood of Jesus. That's all it takes. Blood of Jesus. Amen? Okay. Romans 8 and 32. Are you remembering? Okay, that's all I want you to do is remember. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Remember that. Remember that. If he withheld not the most precious thing he had, who is our Jesus, would he hold anything else back? Listen. Boy, this is going to be tacky, but you have to deal with it. I mean, let's be plain. Okay? If there is something that you need or want that you think God would withhold from you, did you hear what I just said now? If you think there is something that you need or want that God would withhold from you, you're saying that thing is more precious than Jesus. Oh, Brother Butch, I'd never say that. That's what you thought. Well, I know God gave me Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But, you know, God doesn't trust me with this over here. Come on. It's all in Him that we live and move and have our being anyway. If He could withhold part of Jesus from you, maybe that would happen. But He didn't withhold nothing. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right? Are you with me? You said, well, that's kind of rude, Pastor. I'm sorry. Just keep that in remembrance. It'll help you remember when you say, well, I'm not sure God let me have that up there because, you know, I've had people tell me I'd hurt myself if I had that. You're remembering the wrong thing. You remember what somebody else said instead of what the Word of God says. God trusted you with the most precious thing He had, and that's Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. Telling the world, I love you. You're forgiven. I got one scripture on top of it. Oh, yeah, I like this one. Isaiah 59. Go back there to the Old Testament one last time. Okay, you found Isaiah 59? Okay, I got to multitask you. You need to also find Hebrews 8:12, Hebrews 10:17. They go together. Hebrews 8:12, Hebrews 10:17. I hear pages turning. When you get there, we'll jump off into this because this is a fun deal right here. I heard one okay. Okay. Everybody, somebody need a little bit more time? We're all right? Okay. You got Isaiah 59? Got Hebrews 12, Hebrews 10. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Remember, save means deliver, prosper, increase, heal, all those things. So the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. So God, okay, He could hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Oh, yes, Brother Butch, there's our problem right there. Yes, amen. That's been our problem all along. That's why God doesn't answer our prayers. Why He doesn't hear us sometimes? Because our sins and our iniquities have separated us from Him. Isn't that fun? Except for Hebrews 8 and 12. And Hebrews 10, so what did I say, 17? What do they say? What? Your sins and your iniquities he will remember no more. So that means he will save you every time. That means he will hear you every time. Why? Because your sins and your iniquities can no longer separate you from him. Why? Because all the anger, all the wrath, all the sin, all the results, all of that was put on Jesus so that you and I could go free. So we can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. No matter what's going on in your life, what you've been doing, how you've been acting, anything else, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because it's the only place you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not running from Him, running to Him. And since your sins and your iniquities, He remembers no more. When you come in there, you come in there fresh and clean. Remember that. Now, see, the devil says, but. You think, no. I've chosen what I'm going to remember. God said, forget not all His benefits. But you're not worthy. But you forgot I didn't get in on this because I was worthy. I got in on this because Jesus is worthy. That's why you can walk and talk with Him every day. That's why that kind of faith will come out of us, not because of what we've done, because where we've been. Remember one time they talked about the Bible? They said, they've been with those guys. They knew they'd been with Jesus. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Ushers, go ahead and prepare. Bring it down here. Set it up. Where we just have y'all normally do it. Yeah. Pull it back over there, guys. Back over there. They're coming down this aisle and this aisle, right? Okay, good. In two lines. Yeah, coming this way and splitting back. Okay. We haven't always done it this way. We have handed it out, but the Lord just put it in our heart for us to come and take it. And it's just meant so much to all of us to get to do that, that we're working all the time on doing it. But look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I told you, I hadn't got to preach this yet because I hadn't got it all in me yet. But Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. Okay, so that anointing, that oil, we use the oil to anoint with, representing God's anointing of that grace or His willingness to use His power on your behalf in every situation, that anointing's on you. Now, we use the oil. I told you, my granddaddy walked up to our house and said, Nanny, what's this oil all over the doors? I'm anointing everything I got. Why? It represents God's willingness to use His power on my behalf. I anoint that thing because the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me to get to do that. But the neat thing about the anointing oil, if you look in the Bible, I found 39 times. Now, there's got to be a significance to that. I don't know. But 39 times in the Bible, it mentions the grain, the wine, and the oil. The grain, of course, the body, the bread of life, the wine representing the Spirit of God, His blood, and the oil representing the anointing. 39 times it's in there. But look here what He says. Verse 23, chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night, and when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do, as often as you do it, remembering me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, remembering me. Remembering what I've done. Not what I can do in your life, what you're hoping I'll do in your life, what he's done in your life. He's done it all. He has done it all. All you and I have to do is receive it. Remember it. When you remember it, when you start thinking on those things, faith starts coming from those things. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing from the Word of Christ. When you start thinking about what he's done for you, the faith starts coming. So when you need healing in your body, what do? You start thinking about it. You start remembering. He told me, he forgave all my iniquities. He healed all my diseases. You start remembering that. The more you remember it, the believing starts coming. When the believing starts coming, the receiving starts coming. Take the pressure off yourself. He's done it all. You don't have to do it. He will. I've said all my life, or for the last 30 years, not all my life, I've said for the last 30 years, God made this thing idiot-proof. I didn't know how much. Because I thought he just made it good enough where I could do it. I thought he made it easy enough where I could do it. I thought he made it plain enough where I could do it. I didn't know he just did it all, and then he did it. And what I do is remember. Your sins are forgiven. Your iniquities he will remember no more. Your diseases are healed. You do not ever have to be concerned about coming into his presence, whether you're worthy, whether he accepts you. He wants you in his presence. Well, I need to clean myself up, Brother Butch. Jesus already cleans you up. That's why you can come into his presence. Going in, I just feel like I just don't deserve to be there. That's what the devil wants you to remember. Why? So you won't go there. Because if you go there, it removes everything. It'll get it out of your life. The stuff you don't like about your life, what you're doing, what you're not doing, blah, blah, blah. In his presence is where that goes away, not in your effort. All you got to do is remember. It come down to one word. Jesus. Jesus. He's it. He's the whole thing. He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Jesus. As we come, we're going to come and we're going to take a cracker. We're going to take a juice. We're going to remember what our Jesus has done for us. We're going to declare we receive it in Jesus' name. So this is the way we do it. This group comes this way and back around, right? This group comes here, back around. This group comes here, back around to your seats. The same way there and behind you. Okay? As the music plays, come receive. We'll receive this as a family, and we will remember what he's done for us.
Make it plain and clear to me. Give me the word. It's a light that I might see. Give me the word. It's my total victory over every situation.
If you cannot come down, or if you do not just want to come down, just stick your hand up and Miss Susie has a tray and she will bring it to you, okay? All right, thanks.
It's a light that I might see. Give me the word. It's my total victory over every situation. Give me the word. It's been tested, it's been tried. Searching minds are satisfied. Though the story's old, the message still is true. It's been ridiculed, it's been shamed, still its power is never changed. It will stand the test forever. Give me the word. Give me the word. And make it plain and clear to me. Give me the word. It's a life that I might see. Give me the word. It's my total victory over every situation. Give me the word. I don't want it watered down, sugar-coated or profound. Give me basic truth. It's strong, preach it clear, so that all the world can hear. It will change our lives forever. Give me the word.
Give me the word.
It's time to trouble.
Give me the word.
Time to fear.
Give me the word.
When my faith is tested and death.
People tell me lately that since we've started teaching grace, God's willingness to use His power on your behalf, and the ability to come into His presence at all times without any fear, that the things that they didn't like about themselves, the things that they knew had to be fixed, just started getting fixed without them doing anything about it. It's what it's supposed to be. Anything else is just an effort. It's you doing something and saying, look, God, what I've done for you. He came to serve. And He still does it. So, after you receive this, and during and while and before and everything else, as you walk every day, and you say, yeah, but I remember this thing that I've had in my life and it just keeps coming back. That's when you say, well, wait a minute. I remember that He said, my sins and my iniquities I would remember no more. I remember that He said He was able to make all grace abound toward me, that I would have all sufficiency in all. In other words, He said I'd be able to do that. That's what I remember. I remember that this thing I have every year, it comes back, or it's a chronic disease in my family. But I remember Him saying, by His stripes, I was healed. Work on remembering, not on doing. The power is in the remembering of what Jesus has already done. It's not mind over matter. It's Jesus over everything. Amen. So He said, as often as you do this, the bread, the wine, the oil, as often as you do it in remembrance of me, of what I've done. He said, that's showing forth what my death paid for till I come. After that, we won't have to be taking this anymore. We'd be living with the Lamb. Amen. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we as a family declare we remember what You've done for us. And we realize, Heavenly Father, there's no way we can know it all outside of Your Spirit. It's impossible because of what You've done for us. But we know, Lord, that what Peter said was that You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness simply through the knowledge of You, or knowing and remembering what You've done for us. And by these great and precious promises is how we get to be partakers of Your divine nature. Lord, we thank You. We give You praise this day. We remember what You remember. We forget what You forget. And we thank You for it this day. Lord Jesus, You are our all in all. It's in You that we live, move, have our being. We declare to You this day, we are so thankful, Lord, for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace to us. Thank You for forgiving us all of our sins, all of our iniquities. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for making us Your children. We get to tell the world how wonderful You are. We don't get to judge them. We don't want to judge them. We want to simply let them know that they're forgiven, they're loved, oh, that they're wanted, Father. We just give You praise for that because of our Jesus. Now, we receive this right now, calling ourselves well from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We are blessed coming in, blessed going out. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And we thank You that You do all things well. You perfect that which concerns us. Glory, honor, and praise be to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, go out there this week and tell them how much they're loved. When they act like stinkers, tell them how much they're loved. When you act like a stinker, tell them how much they're loved. Amen. For God so loved the world, He gave Jesus for all of us. So go tell them. We love you. Don't forget to Wednesday night, 6:45. But remember all the good stuff. See you later, guys. Okay, turn me back on. All the youth and the parents, if you're interested in them going to that camp, you might go to the youth room to get information on that, okay? Thank you.